Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz, Editor-in-Chief of Payments Journal. Today, consumers expect more from their financial institutions, especially based on the experiences they've had with companies like Amazon and Apple, which have given them more convenience, choice, and control. If an FI doesn't create an omni-channel experience nor offers a variety of payment channels, and they also don't personalize the payments process, they're at risk of not only losing customer satisfaction, but also not acquiring new customers who, again, really expect more from their FIs. Our guest today, Marcel King, Innovation Officer at Paymentus, and Brian Riley, Director of Credit and Co-Head of Payments at Javelin Strategy and Research, discuss how modern borrowers have different expectations based on their experiences as consumers. They also dive into what FIs need to do to take back control and reshape the loan payment experience. Marcel and Brian, it's so great to have you with us today. Marcel, people have been paying loans through their FIs for decades. Why is it so important now?
It's not necessarily just paying the loans. It is really around giving consumers control over how, when, and what they pay with, right? What's their payment method? And you think about kind of millennials, they're entering their kind of prime spending and borrowing years, demographic studies show they're less patient, they want more convenience, they want more control. And so they have different expectations than maybe an older demographic that I sit in. Now it's about how do you give them what they want, right? And they're really looking for the payment options that they want to use, whether that's their debit card, whether that's their PayPal account, whether it's, paying it through a retail store because maybe, I have a car loan and my mother pays for my car, but she's unbanked. And so maybe she wants to go into Walmart and make my payment. So it's really about giving consumers more payment optionality and the ability to pay through whatever channel that they want to, and just give them the convenience to control that experience as much as possible.
It's interesting you say that too, Marcel. When you think about how pay periods come, quite often people get paid once every 2 weeks. And so that doesn't always stack up. If I have a recurring payment to pay, make a car payment on the third of every month, that doesn't always perfectly align with how a consumer's budget goes, right? So rather than just setting it and forgetting it, that ability to allow people to navigate that, and even if I want to go down, assuming that I have a 10-day grace period on a payment due the 15th of the month, if I'm a consumer, I can make that on the paycheck that precedes it, or I can make it that's really close to the end. And that flexibility is an interesting opportunity.
Yeah, I agree, Brian. And I kind of think about how workers are paid today. Traditionally, it was weekly, biweekly, monthly, whatever it may be. But with the on-demand economy and gig workers, they don't have that same recurring frequency, right, in terms of how they're earning their income. So you also want to be flexible enough to allow those consumers who may be living either paycheck to paycheck or that have a much more variance in their payment cycles to pay when they want and as quickly as they want, right? So you think of maybe an Uber driver that drives 2 hours a day or 10 hours every couple of days, whatever it may be. We need to give them the flexibility to pay as soon as the money hits their account. So maybe they go work for 12 hours for the next couple of days to make their car payments. And now you want them to be able to pay as quickly as possible. So give them the opportunity to receive a payment or a text and pay immediately with that text, or go right into their mobile app in between rides and pay it, from their mobile app. So really just giving them the flexibility to pay whenever they need to and where their income flows support their expenses.
Sure. And what's really interesting too is this is a perfectly timed conversation because you've got real-time payments coming to fruition, right? Mm-hmm. You already have the Nacha version. FedNow is coming up on July 1st. So this really bolts into having faster funds in your account and then being able to deal with them effectively. And that's something that's really neat.
Absolutely.
I'm curious if there's a disconnect. Where do FIs fall short in meeting the expectations of today's borrowers?
I think there's a couple areas. So you think about consumer expectations today, whether it's Amazon or Apple, everything is very convenient. It's low friction and it's giving the consumers the ability to execute on whatever they want as quickly as possible, right? So that they can get onto other things. I don't think there's anyone in the country that likes necessarily paying their bills. So you got to get through it as quickly as possible and make it as easy as possible. And then you think about, like I said, the gig economy and the need for flexibility and when they can pay versus, when the payment due date comes into play. And then you think about the competition, from a banking perspective of all the non-traditional banks that are providing services to consumers for payments, whether it's a mortgage, whether it's auto loans, et cetera. So there's this expectation of convenience. There's this expectation of control, and there's the expectation of speed. Traditionally, some of the kind of call it legacy technologies don't support all of those components. You may be limited to only the website because there's no mobile app, or you may only offer a payment to your loan from a checking account when, you know, a lot of consumers may not have checking accounts, or maybe they use alternative deposit accounts, maybe with, you know, with PayPal. There are lots of deposits that sit on PayPal. So again, I think that where the FIs are falling short is just giving the consumers those three things that are most important to consumers together, not one or the other, but all three consistently.
And it boils down to account retention at the end of the day. That's a really expensive thing to manage. You know, in the credit card business, you lose about 15% of your volume. And in the retail banking world, that's a pretty consistent number also. So it's not just keeping the customers you have, it's creating an offer that's compelling to new customers that you bring in.
Yep, absolutely. Right. And the easier you make things for a consumer, the more likely they are to stay with you, because what's the most valuable thing that we have, you know, outside of monetary value is time. How do we make it as easy as possible for consumers to optimize their time so that they're doing less for paying the bills and more time, you know, golfing or hiking or whatever else it is that they might want to do?
How can FIs take back control and reshape the loan payment experience?
So again, I think kind of going back to my kind of the three buckets, right? Number one, you know, it's convenience. How do you make it as easy as possible for consumers to pay their loans through any channel that they want to as quickly as possible, right? And you think again of the various demographics, right? So you may have a consumer who banks with you, but has an external account that they want to make their payments from, right? So how do you make it easy for them to do that? You may have a consumer that, you know, is a, you know, their primary income is from driving Uber or Lyft. So how do you make it convenient for them to make a payment from their mobile phone quickly? So convenience there. Choice. How do you give them the ability to pay with whatever payment method that they want to, where they're keeping their dollars, right? So it may not be at your institution. It may be at another institution. It may be in a digital wallet, right? So it could be PayPal, could be Apple Pay, could be Google Pay. So they may want to pay with one of their various kind of digital wallets. They may want to pay with cash. You know, maybe they're a service worker and they use their tips to make their car loan. So you want to be able to pay for cash. So give them the choice of how they want to pay. And then the third one is really around control, right? How do you give them the ability to control where they're paying from? Right. Again, going a little bit ties back to convenience. But if I want to set up my payments for auto recurring payments, right, that's one thing. But maybe I want to just get a notification and I can pay whenever I want to. So maybe I want to pay with text. You know, maybe I want to, again, pay at a store. So how do you give them control over how they're setting up their payments and the ability to actually make repayments back to their loan accounts? I think it really just comes down to giving them as many payment options as possible to pay their loans, give them the channels that they want to pay from. And then the third one is really around speed, just making sure that it's all real time. Consumers expect real time now. So how do you make it real time so that, you know, when you pay, that payment is being posted immediately, not 2 or 3 days later, and now I've got a late fee.
And orchestrating this all gets interesting, right? So you have installment type loans that have set amounts every month, or you have bills that pay your electric company or water company, and those vary every month, right? So it's not one size fits all. And then do you want to push in the payment? Do you want to pull out the payment? And orchestrating that really takes a very strong solution to make this all fit into the ecosystem.
Yeah, you're spot on there, Brian, again. And I think that's the challenge is there's a lot of legacy payment technology infrastructure that's been in place for 10, 15 years based on legacy payment methods like just ACH. When there are so many more payment options now, you have to basically deploy newer technology, more modernized technology that allows you to take advantage of all the new payment capabilities that the market has created and built over the last, you know, 20, 25 years.
Marcel and Brian, you've given a lot of great insight thus far. I think our audience would also love to hear about any key strategies that are driving value from loan payment modernization efforts. Like, where's the ROI?
I think there are a couple of things. I think number one is really just customer satisfaction. There's data out there that shows that banking NPS and customer satisfaction scores for making repayments are lower than some of the newer non-traditional bank fintechs, whether it's Rocket Mortgage or other organizations that are deploying modernized technology and interactions with the consumers. That customer satisfaction NPS scores is one way to think of it, right? And if you have strong NPS scores, that means that your customers or members are willing to refer other customers to your institution. That's a strong NPS score. Reducing late payments and delinquencies, those create economic impacts on the business model. The cost to serve, right? Consumers want to do things themselves and therefore providing as many self-service channels to those consumers to make their payments has a strong economic value from an operational efficiency. So being able to reduce your cost to serve those customers with information that they need that they can access over their mobile phone or their desktop drives ROI as well. Reducing PCI exposure, that's another value that can be brought when you're modernizing technology for payments. For example, you know, we have a product called Secure Pay, and instead of a member or customer providing their debit card number to a MSR over the phone, we can send a text message link to the consumer. They open the link and there's a secure page that allows them to enter their card information directly into that page, which mitigates and eliminates kind of the PCI requirements that you're going to have to maintain internally. Reducing the number of vendors. We talk to many institutions and they're running multiple systems to support loan payments. You know, obviously there's some capabilities on the core, but then there's third parties, I won't name all of our competitors, but that offer siloed solutions like just web, or maybe it's just IVR, or maybe it's just collections, right? So some institutions have three or four systems that they're operating to manage collection of repayment on loans. So being able to consolidate onto one platform, again, there's an operational efficiency. And then if you're providing great service to that customer with your loan service, that provides the impetus for them to potentially acquire new products and services. So there's a cross-sell opportunity. And I know that's a big area of focus for institutions who provide indirect auto lending. So the customer or member may not have a banking relationship with you, but they have a loan product because they bought a car at one of the local car dealerships. So you provide great service, interact actions, and give that consumer the convenience, choice, control, and speed, there's opportunity to upsell and cross-sell. You know, you look at those buckets and you start holistically looking at kind of the ROI, it becomes very strong when you're providing things that the consumer needs to kind of manage and repay their loans.
I personally have done two bill pays in my life through my DDA account, and because I didn't have Stamp. So I knew it was there, but it's kind of so what, as opposed to integrating this into a core process within the financial institution where it really adds value, right? I can do it through an omni-channel solution. I've got lots of ways I could push it out. And from there, you could really derive a ROI, you know, rather than having just an anecdotal, yeah, I could push you a payment through my bank account, but for a consumer to have a whole strategy that builds into their financial plan, I think that's what makes a big difference here.
Yeah, and if you think of it as a commodity, it's going to be a commodity. If you think of this experience as a way to introduce your customer to your institution, and this is their first experience, you have to make it the best experience possible, right? And if you make it the best experience possible and that consumer likes what they see in their interactions, the ROI becomes an easy ROI to kind of think about, because not only retention, but potential for additional services.
Lots of great takeaways for FIs looking to impress borrowers with innovation and personalization. Thank you both again, and we hope to have you back on soon.